Welcome to another episode of the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica, your host, and I invite you to join in and listen to a conversation with an amazing entrepreneur who has leaned into their passion and is igniting their life and the life of others. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today I have with me Stephanie Blake. She's the founder and CEO of The Blake Collective. Stephanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me here. I am so excited to talk to your audience today.
Yeah, I'm excited too, because when I was stalking you, because that's what I do for all my guests, what I see is that you help people get out of survival mode in their business and more into CEO mode. And that I find a very interesting way of looking at things. So I'm excited to hear more about that. So first off though, Stephanie, can you please tell everybody who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So like you said, my name is Stephanie Blake and I work with service providers and coaches, and I help them, like you said, get out of survival mode into CEO mode and really focus on not only generating consistent revenue in their business, but also once they get to the point of scaling, reach multiple six figures, and then work as little as possible in the process. So that is how I help people.
Well, you definitely have my attention with that.
Yeah.
So tell me about the journey though. Like, how did you get to be the Blake Collective?
Yeah, for sure. So the journey started about 5 years ago when I was in my 9-to-5 job. I worked in corporate for about 10 years, and about six years into, let me go back a little bit. So I started out with a degree in graphic design. So I started working at an engineering company designing instruction manuals, and it was incredibly boring. So I knew that I wanted to do something else with my life. I knew that I wasn't supposed to be designing instruction manuals forever. So I moved to Chicago. I got a job at a digital marketing agency, and I worked my way up all the way from the very bottom as a graphic design associate, all the way up to a director, and was on track to be in the VP seat. But during that time, I knew that I wanted to have my own business, because at this agency, we were working with other entrepreneurs because they were all franchise owners. So I was working with these people and I was helping them grow their businesses and reach their freedom goals. And I was like, wait a second, why can't I do this for myself? So one day when I was on a lunch break, I had my phone open and there was a Facebook ad talking about how you can use the skills from your corporate job in your own business. So of course I was intrigued, signed up for the free training, learned all about this amazing world of online business and entrepreneurship. And I soon after that started an Etsy shop designing graphic design prints, because like I said, I was using the skills that I had in this online world. And then about, I don't remember, 6 months to a year, something like that after, I started my virtual assistant company, which then turned into an agency. And then I had my son and left my job. So I was building this business for about 3 years while I was in my full-time job, had my son, knew I didn't want to go back after I had him. And then I eventually pivoted to more of a coaching or consulting role to help other people start and then scale their own businesses, which is exactly what I do today.
Oh, I love it. You know, and one of the things that I love too was that, you know, you realized that you could take those skills that you had that you were using in your day job and transfer them to your own business. And I think a lot of people undervalue the skills they have, is we don't really realize how much information and skills that we have that are totally transferable and that we can make a living doing for ourselves. Love that.
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. And one of the things that I hear so many people who are newer to the online space, like newer virtual assistants or graphic designers or whatnot, they're like, they tell me that they don't have enough experience. And I'm thinking, how do you not have enough experience? They're like, well, I just started my business a couple of months ago. Okay, cool. So you may have just started this part of your life, but what were you doing leading up to this? People forget about the life that they've lived before they started this business. So maybe you were, I don't know, stocking shelves at a grocery store, or maybe you worked in an office as an executive assistant, or maybe you were like me in a higher level director role. We can't negate all of those things that we've learned in our past, not only in like corporate roles that we've had or jobs, but also just life experiences too, because they can all build on top of each other into the business that you have today and just help you be even more successful than you even realize.
Yeah. And just a quick side note is I've actually finally accepted this thought for myself, and I'm creating a product right now where I'm actually taking more from the skills that I have from my day job and implementing it into a product for entrepreneurs than I am what I've done as a coach. So yeah, people listening, yeah, this is a nugget right here, is to really do that deep dive and realize that you know a lot more than you realize that you can turn into a business. So I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of my programs that I now have clients in, like one of my main programs, it came out of my corporate role in that agency and learning how to juggle 30 plus clients at a time and different team members and all the dynamics of just working and having a leadership position, which again, those are all things that can translate into your own business as well. Yes, it's different because it's your own company now, but there's still a lot of different skills that you can use.
Absolutely. So that kind of takes us into the whole get out of survival mode and into CEO mode, is because now you have to start thinking like the CEO. And yes, that takes some mind shift, and there's some, you know, different thought processes that need to go into that. So can you explain how you help people start to see that as a possibility for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So when people, especially when they start their businesses, they typically, not everybody, but the majority of people come in with an employee mindset, and they come in to this new business that they're creating with the mindset of an employee, because they likely don't know any different. Because unless you've either been in a high level position in a company before or had your own business before, you just don't know how to run a business, right? And I mean, that's just very normal. Nobody teaches you how to be the CEO of a company, right? It's something that you learn over time. So that's something that I really help my clients focus on, is, like I said, getting out of that employee mindset and really positioning yourself as somebody who is in that CEO seat, who views your business from a long-term perspective, instead of just looking at like 3 weeks down the road, for example, which most people do. They're just trying to figure out like what I'm supposed to do in the next 3 to 6 months, but they're not really thinking about the big picture of their company. They're not thinking about the backend systems that need to be set up, their strategic marketing that they need to be doing, and the team that they need to bring on. It's all one big ecosystem. But like I said, most people just find themselves in that employee role in their own company that they've built. So that's what we shift people from doing, from being the stressed out person to somebody who is fully sitting in that CEO seat.
I like what you said about building an ecosystem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. So it's like, you know, being intentional as well about, you know, the people that you bring on as part of your business, right?
Oh, absolutely. And it's not just the team members. It's your business is a living, breathing thing. So I like to talk about looking at business from a holistic perspective. So the front end of your business, which is your marketing, your prices that you're selling your offers for, the marketing strategies that you're using. If you're online, maybe you have different funnels. So like, these are all of the strategic front end things that your customers are seeing or your clients are seeing. But then there's all of the back end things too, that a lot of people don't really talk about. Like, sure, some people talk about systems, but it's also the specific tools that you're using. It's all of the mindset work that you have to do. It's the different team management principles that you need to have. There's so many different elements that go into actually running a successful online business that a lot of people, they don't think about. That's what I mean when I say ecosystem. It's all one living, breathing thing. So you shouldn't just focus on one part of it at a time. It all needs to be focused on at the same time. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, although it sounds a little overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
So how do you help people to kind of get out of that feeling of like, what? Now I have to create a team and I have to build an ecosystem. I just want to do blah, blah, blah. Right?
For sure.
So, yeah. So how do you help people kind of break out of that employee mindset and into the whole business owner mindset?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. So first and foremost, it starts with looking at your goals. So what goals do you want to achieve? Do you want to, I don't know, reach 10K months in your business? Do you want to reach 100K months in your business? The easiest way to start is by looking at a revenue number. And then we also want to look at the amount of time that you want to be working too, because sure, it's great to reach $20,000 a month, but if you're working 80 hours a week, where does your life come in, right? So we want to look at all of your goals and we want to get really clear on that. And then from there, we're going to create a strategic roadmap that shows us exactly what you need to be focusing on your business right now. So for some people, for example, they're at the point in their business where they're booked out. They can't take any more clients on, but they know that they need to bring on team members. So that's what we're going to focus on first. So first, we're going to focus on doing an outsourcing audit. So this is one of my favorite things. So we're going to look at everything that's happening in your business, in your clients' businesses. And then we're going to find out what are the things that only you can do. And then what's something that a future, or if you have a current team member on, what is something that somebody else can do? And then what can we automate? So we want to have a really clear picture of all of these different elements that are happening behind the scenes. And then from there, we're going to create systems for these different services that you're going to outsource to these different team members that you're bringing in. So I know you said that it was really overwhelming before, but we do want to piece this out and really break it down so that it makes sense and it doesn't overwhelm people. So that's really the first step of it. And then after you have a bunch or the different backend elements set up for your specific business, that's when we can start to bring on team members. That's when we can start to offload some of those tasks to those team members. And then that's when we can start to really create this robust machine that continues to generate consistent revenue month over month and allows you to work even less in your business.
So typically when somebody's just starting to think about outsourcing and building that team, is there a specific team member that you recommend that they bring on first, or does it really depend on what that business owner's skills are that they can handle themselves? Like, is that like, how do you start to figure out like what you actually need first?
Yeah, no, that's a really good question. It's totally customized to each person because like you said, everyone has different skills, different strengths, different things that they enjoy doing. So that's another part of, that's another audit that my clients go through. They go through, well, it's an assessment. They go through a strengths assessment. And then I also have them do a time assessment so that we can really make sure that the person, so this person in the CEO seat, they're only working on the tasks that they enjoy doing and that light them up. Everything else we're going to get rid of. So if that means like, for example, me, I love to work on systems in the back end of businesses. I love to nerd out over it. And it's just so much fun for me. So that's not something that I want to outsource. But for example, scheduling my social media posts, scheduling emails, I don't want to do that. I'm happy to write some of the content. Sometimes depends on the time of day, but I don't want to be the one actually scheduling that content. So that's something that I would want to get off of my plate. So if you're at the very beginning and you're like, oh, where do I start? I know that I need to get this work off my plate, but I'm not really sure what it is. Like I said, start with that outsourcing audit and just make a really long list of all the things you're doing in your business, things you're doing in your clients' businesses, and then outline the things that only you can do and then the team members can do. And then from there, like I said, you're going to want to create roles for these different spots that you're going to fill, but that's a very easy way to get started with actually understanding what's happening in your business, because a lot of people don't even realize how much work they're doing.
Yeah. You know, the thing that came up, there was a little resistance there at first, because the things that I love to do are not necessarily revenue producing for me. Like, I actually really like editing these podcasts. It's fun for me, but yet I know that I should probably be outsourcing it because it's not the best use of my time as the business owner. So how do you kind of, you know, encourage people to let go of some of those things that, you know, maybe they do enjoy, and then realize that you might like it, but it isn't going to take you where you want to go big picture?
Yeah, absolutely. So that typically is a mindset thing. So my guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that's an area where you feel safe. Like, sitting there doing all of the editing, is it's more of like a safety net for you. Whereas maybe going out and pitching yourself to be on other podcasts, connecting with other business owners, maybe a little bit more scary. Is that the truth? Or am I just making that up?
No, maybe a little bit, but it's also, there's like a control that I don't think I'm quite ready to give up either. Right. It's like, this is like art. This is my baby. It's like handing over a piece of my baby to somebody. Right.
Yes. So that was going to be my next question, was, do you feel like you need to control it? So you answered that for me. So that's exactly what
100%
it is.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's really becoming okay with knowing that first of all, you need to fully understand that you're running a company. This isn't an expensive hobby unless you want it to be, but I'm guessing you probably want to generate a good amount of money and really step into the CEO role. So in that case, it's, again, we want to look at those goals, and we want to determine if my goal is to reach, $20,000 a month, but right now I'm only bringing in $1,000 a month. Okay. What are the things that I need to be doing in order to get me to those $20,000 months? Like I said, maybe it's getting out in front of other audiences more. Maybe it's, having more sales calls with clients, whatever it is for your business specifically. But if the things that you're doing now are not producing income, they're not income producing activities, that's something that you need to give to another person, because your time is best spent doing things that can actually bring money back into the business for you. Now, you may get to a point in your business where, this is the point where I'm at now in my business, where pretty much everything is either delegated or automated. So now, I'll just be completely transparent, there's times when I'm bored and I just want to play around with things. So in that case, I may go and maybe I'll test out a new tool and see if it could do something and make something better in my business. But all of the work that needs to be done, that's also a key thing. Like, we need to make sure that we're only doing work that needs to be done, is delegated at this point. Does that help?
Yeah. And I'm thinking that's a problem that I can't wait to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it took me a long time to get to this point, but now that I'm here, I'm always trying to think of the next thing that I want to be doing.
Yeah. Awesome. So, okay. So now what about, again, it's a control thing. It's my baby thing. And I'm sure I feel like I'm speaking for my audience, because I feel like my audience is me. Like, I am my own avatar. So I feel like when I ask these questions selfishly, I think I'm actually adding value. At least that's what I'm telling myself. But so how do you find the right people? How do you trust people? Like, do you go with referrals? Do you how do you find the people that you believe are going to be the best for your ecosystem?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all starts with having processes in place, right? So this is something that I teach my clients, and I have frameworks for all of this, but essentially it's ensuring that you have a really solid hiring, interviewing, and then onboarding process for these team members. Because if you don't trust somebody, you're not going to give up that work to them. And a little bit of that comes, like, even if you have interviewed somebody, even if you've onboarded them and you're still feeling that resistance, it's normal. So you don't have to go all in on getting all of the work off of your plate right away. You can start small. You can start by offboarding a couple things here and there, but I will tell you, once you start that process, it's going to be like you got bit by a bug and you're just going to want to outsource everything in your business, because I used to be the same way. I used to be, I call myself a recovering control freak because I absolutely used to be. I wouldn't let anybody do anything in my business. I wouldn't even let my husband take out the garbage because I said that I had to take out the garbage because he was going to do it wrong. But I will say for me specifically, after doing a lot of inner work and figuring out where the root cause of this need for control came from, that's when I was able to figure out why I was feeling these levels of control, and then eventually able to get rid of some of it. And I mean, for me and for most people, it stems from something that's happened in our childhood. So for me, it was my parents' divorce when I was 6 years old. Ever since that point, I've wanted to control things because I felt out of control in that point in my life. But right. I know we may be going a little bit deeper here than you anticipated, but all of those feelings of control, anxiety, stress, they all stem from somewhere. So it's really important to figure out where they're actually stemming from.
Yeah, no, and trust me, like, I love going deep. So I'm glad that you went there because it's important, right?
Yeah.
It's the whole self-sabotage, the resistance, all these things that, like, we think these are a great idea until we step into them. And then all of a sudden we get hit by a brick wall and we didn't know where that comes from. And so I think it's really important to just expect that it's possible that we can feel some of that when we start to grow and scale and move in that direction. So knowing it could come helps.
It will come. It 100% will come. I guarantee that it will. So the earlier that you can start to work through it, the better, so that you, like you said, you don't come up against that brick wall full force. You want it to be a little bit softer.
Right? It's coming, but it might not hit quite so hard if you know
exactly.
It.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. See, unfortunately, I've had a couple of bad experiences. I hired a VA earlier this year, and I also even had somebody who offered to help me for free, which I thought was amazing. But unfortunately, both of them did not do it to the same quality that I would. Like, let's pretend like right now you and I are talking and your dog starts barking. Well, I would want to cut that out of this interview before I publish it. And those people were not doing that. So, you know, was I not communicating my expectations properly, or did I hire the wrong people? Right.
It could be both.
No, go ahead.
Honestly, yeah. I was going to say it could be both. Mm-hmm. So for this example, did you have a full process outlined for how to edit the podcast audio, what to expect? Like, did you have a step-by-step process outlined?
No, I did not.
Well, there's the first problem. Yeah. We want to, and that's part of the onboarding process that I was talking about, making sure that we have systems in place before we bring people on, because likely, I'm guessing, I don't know if this happened for sure, but I'm guessing you brought these people on to help you and they started to do some work, but they maybe either got confused, they didn't know what they were doing, they were doing the wrong thing. I don't know, maybe they had a million questions, and it's likely due to lack of processes. Is that kind of what happened?
I guess because they presented themselves to me as somebody who was capable and able and willing to help me, I guess I made the assumption that they knew for themselves what that would entail. I guess I didn't realize that they would require a process. I felt that they actually would be bringing their process to me.
Right. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, because one thing that's really important to remember is this is your business, and your business is unlike anybody else's. Now, whether they're editing a podcast episode or designing a Pinterest graphic or whatever it is, the process that you want them to go through and your expectations are completely unique to you and your business, right? So that's something to keep in mind too. So you should have processes for everything in place before you have anybody coming on, so that you can avoid these types of situations.
No, and I think that's really great. And see, this is why I like to be transparent as well, is because I feel like whatever problems I'm having with my business, I'm sure that there's at least one other person listening to this that also has had a similar, or at least it'll help them avoid going through what I did, right? So
yeah. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've had it happen to me too. And I teach people how to do this stuff, but it's all part of the process. It's all a learning curve.
Yeah. Okay. So one of the things I'd love to share is you talk about like getting organized and automated. So, and you love processes. So, you know, in your opinion, like before you go, yeah, see your face lights up. You're excited. Yes. I love it. So yeah. So for those of us who maybe like, I do like strategies and processes and, you know, ticking off boxes and all those things, but, you know, say for somebody who's maybe not that way inclined, how would they go about now, you know, beginning to sit down and really think about what they want in that outsourcing program or plan that they're putting together? You know, what are some of the basics that you can maybe offer just to get them started thinking big picture and how to fit somebody into that if they're not that way inclined?
Yeah. No, that's a good question. And it's hard for me to answer this because I am so systems systems focused. But one thing that I just want to say before I even dive into like any tips or whatnot is, if you're feeling resistance to creating any processes in your business, that's okay. But remember, you're the CEO of this company and you've got to get over it. Like it's part of being in this role in your business. So I know that's kind of harsh, but it's the truth. So if that's the case, if you are feeling resistance to this right now and you're like, I don't even want to do this, maybe you do want to do it, but you don't know where to start. Start small. Start with something really easy. So let's go with the podcast editing example again. So you know that you want to get podcast editing off of your plate because you can spend that time doing XYZ, whatever it is. So what you can do, this is just a very easy way to do it. As you're going through the process of editing your podcast the next time, turn on Loom, record your screen, and Loom is a screen recording app. Record your screen as you're going through the process, and then you can give that video to another person to watch as they edit your podcast audio. Again, that's as simple as it can be. Now, from there, you will want to take that process, take that video and write it down step by step, put it in your project management tool. So that's another big thing. You need to make sure that you have some kind of project management tool before you bring on team members. And yeah, that's about as basic as I can make it. Is that kind of along the lines of what you were thinking?
That's actually brilliant. I had not thought about doing Loom for, yeah, that's perfect. And then, yeah, what I use for project management is Trello. And it's nice because you can share your Trello boards with people too, right? So
yeah.
Step.
Yeah, no, Trello is a very good first step. I actually use that first and then I found ClickUp and it was over from there.
that's what I've heard from people. Yeah, I think it also depends on where you're at in your business. Like one of the ladies that I did a Trello demo for, she was already using ClickUp and yeah, it's more of a business management tool using ClickUp, right?
It is. Yeah, because everything in my company, it lives inside of ClickUp. So if ClickUp ever went away, I don't know what I would do, to be totally honest. I should probably back it up or something. But yeah, everything lives in there. So all of the tasks, all of our docs, images, everything lives in that one place.
Which I think is also a really great thing for people to know, is it because you can share that with your team as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I add all of my team members onto the account. So it's really great because I can see there's different views. So for example, I can look at the calendar view and I can get a high level overview of what's happening for the week ahead. Or when we're on our team calls, I can bring up the calendar view and say, okay, so team number one is going to be working on this week. Team number two is going to be working on this, so that I know what's going on, but I'm not having to micromanage people. And then the team members know what everybody else is working on too. So it makes it really easy for collaboration.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. And, you know, I think that's part of it too, is just having the right tools in place, especially as you start to evolve into that CEO mindset. So knowing that there's a lot of systems and software available to help with that. So
mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's another thing. I'm glad you brought that up because a lot of people get stuck in this decision-making mode where they're like, oh, there's so many different options to choose from. Which one should I choose? And what I always tell people is choose whatever feels good to you, because like you said, you like Trello, I love ClickUp, but I wouldn't force you to go use ClickUp if it didn't feel good to you, right? So it's all about just focusing on what feels good to you and whatever stage you're at in your business right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you can grow from there, right? So if you start mm-hmm. with something that's very simple and easy to just wrap your head around, because as you start to evolve and grow into this new mindset, I mean, there's a lot of things that you need to do, as you have explained, you know, having those project plans and making sure that the people that you're bringing on know the processes and whatnot. So making sure that you're not now also overwhelming yourself with a big monster system as well. So starting with what you know, what you can handle, and then growing from there, right?
Yes, 100%. Absolutely.
Awesome. Okay. So if somebody wanted to, say, do this outsourcing audit with you to just figure out, like, what is the next step for them? How do they start to begin the process of scaling and bringing on team members so that they can actually stay in their zone of genius and do the work that only they can do in the business? How would they get in touch with you? How would they work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So the best place to get this outsourcing audit and learn about how to step into this new CEO seat, or sit in this new CEO seat, is in my program, Six Figure Service, because that is what this entire program is all about. It's creating your business in a way that allows you to reach multiple six figures while working less than 20 hours a week so that you can sit in that CEO seat. So again, you can go to sixfigureservice.com to learn about that. Or if maybe you're not ready to commit to a full program, I do offer one-on-one consulting and like one-off calls too. So if, for example, maybe one thing you want to get done is that outsourcing audit, we can hop on a 60-minute call, talk through that process together, and just get everything ironed out for you.
Beautiful. Awesome. So now, where can people find you on social if they want to follow you? Because I know you have a podcast.
I do. So I forgot to say that you can go to theblakecollective.com that's my website. So you can get all of the details about everything there. There's freebies there as well. But on social media, my handle is The Blake Collective. So trying to keep it consistent. And then I also have a, like you said, a podcast called Behind Their Business. And it really focuses on showing a behind the scenes look of what happens behind the scenes of running a business. Hence the name of the show. So we don't really talk strategy. It comes up every once in a while, but it's really just shining a light on the things that people don't want to talk about. So the struggles that people are having, the different mindset issues that are coming up for them, the successes that people are having that they're sometimes afraid to share about. We talk about all of that and so much more on the podcast.
I have gone and listened to a couple of your episodes, and I'm very excited to now be a subscriber so that I can follow along. Because, you know, I think that's a really important message for people, is to, you know, to be able to hear that we're not all perfect and it's not always easy, and being able to hear some of the struggles, but then again, also the wins, right? And just being able to share in that journey with other entrepreneurs, and not necessarily just through their highlight reels.
Yes, exactly. And that is why I created it, because when I was, even now, but even when I was in the beginning stages of my business, I was looking at all of these other people who were so much further along than me. And I was always beating myself up for it. But in reality, there was a lot of things happening behind the scenes of people at every level of business that they don't talk about, right? So that's why I wanted to shine a light on it, to kind of debunk those myths that people are coming up with in their own head.
Awesome. Okay. So before I let you go, I have one question that I always have to ask all my guests. So Stephanie, if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level one piece of advice, what would you suggest?
Yes. So my piece of advice would be to slow down before you speed up, because Yeah. I bet you didn't think I was going to say that.
I did not.
Excellent. I love it. So the reason that I wanted to share this piece of advice is because people are, for the most part, always thinking that they just need to market their business more, sign more clients, bring in more money, all of this. And while that is true, keep in mind that if things aren't set up in the back end of your business to support this growth, then things are going to fall apart, right? So we want to make sure that you're always setting up truly sustainable businesses from day one, so that, or from right now, wherever you're at in your business. So that sometimes, again, means slowing down. So getting things set up behind the scenes to support that growth before you speed up and basically pour gasoline on the fire.
I love it. And I think you're right. I think too often people want to skip steps because, mm-hmm. again, back to the comparing and wanting to be like somebody else. And so they go, oh, well, I can do that too, but that they're not actually ready for that yet. So.
Right. Yes. And I fell into that trap for quite a while myself. And also, speaking of that, it's doing, you may need to do things that aren't fun to you. Like we talked about this before, maybe you don't enjoy setting up those backend systems, but those things are necessary in order for you to get to the next level, or else you're going to end up burnt out, overworked, all of that. So yeah, there's a couple of different ways to look at that.
Well, or like me thinking that I can't outsource because I've had a couple of failures, but maybe they were my failures and not theirs. So exactly. I think also taking ownership as well of those failures can help as well. So
yes. Love that. That's such a good point. Yes.
Stephanie, this was awesome. And I really enjoyed having you on, and I definitely learned a lot. So thank you so much for spending your Sunday morning with me. I really appreciate it.
You are so welcome. And I am always sharing advice just like this on Instagram. So feel free to come and hang out with me.
Perfect. I'm pretty sure that I'm already seeing it because I've started seeing some of your stuff and I really enjoy your Instagram feed. So thank you.
Amazing. Thank you again for having me. This was so much fun.